May God add his blessing to the reading of the scriptures this morning, and may the words from my mouth be just what you and I need to hear. There's an old story that Satan once called a meeting with his senior advisors. And at this meeting, Satan put this question to his advisors. He said, "We need to develop a new strategy for creating havoc upon the earth. Do you have any suggestions for a new way to reach human beings for our side?" And one advisor suggested, "Well, yeah, let's tell them that there is no heaven." And another one said, "Well, let's maybe tell them there is no God." And then the third advisor came up with the idea that the devil liked the best. He said, "Let's tell them there's no hurry." May I suggest to you this morning that in some matters, in some things in this life, there really is a very, very big hurry. In today's lesson, Jesus meets a man and he says to him, "Follow me." This man says, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." Now, this is a little bit confusing. It's an interesting response. What we don't know is if his father is actually dead. Has his father yet died? Is he sick? If so, will he need to go and bury him immediately if he's dead? Or does he have a severe illness? Is he going to die soon? Was he just saying that he was responsible for his father and that he wants to be there for him until his death? We're not sure. Whatever the answer was, Jesus said something to him that sounded pretty peculiar. He said, "Let the dead bury their own dead. You go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another guy says, "I'll follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Now that doesn't sound like an unreasonable request. Let me go say goodbye to my people. But remember, Jesus could see into their hearts, not like us. He knew when someone was being genuine and was being honest and straightforward with him, and he knew when someone was using a tactic to delay what he wanted them to do. And so he answered him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." Now, it might seem strange to you, as it did to me, that these men were being treated this way by Jesus. All they were asking for was a little bit more time. But he came across rather harshly. He knew that in the important things in life, there's a need for urgency. Some things cannot be put off. And I think this is what the message is for us today. Think about the simple act of, and we've talked about this recently, the simple act of expressing love for people who are closest to us and for people whom we love. Expressing our love is something that cannot be put off. Dear Abby, many years ago, was once asked, what letter was requested the most for reprinting by her readers? And she said, easily, by a long shot, this is the one. And here's the letter that was requested by people to be reprinted the most. "Dear Abby, I am the most heartbroken person on the earth. I always found time to go everywhere else but to see my aging parents. They sat at home loving me just the same. Now when I go to visit their graves, I wonder if God will ever forgive me for the heartaches that I must have caused them." You can just feel the regret in those words. Some things simply cannot be put off, like expressing love for someone whom you love. Samuel Johnson was a very famous author. His father was a bookseller, and he sold books from town to town during Johnson's childhood. And once, when his dad was very, very sick, he was tired, he was worn down by his constant struggle to make ends meet for his family, he asked Samuel, "Would you go to the market and sell books for me today? I really don't feel like I can do it today." Well, Samuel was, like many young people, very self-involved. And he said, no, I don't want to do that. Well, his dad pushed himself up out of bed, got ready, went to the market, and sold books that day. And he never mentioned it again to Samuel. 50 years later, there's a story told that Samuel Johnson, who is now a well-known and prosperous author, who's a household word throughout the whole country of England, is standing silently for hours, very close to the spot where his father's bookstall used to stand. People stared at him as he stood there without moving in the wind and the rain. He was remembering that a long time ago, his father asked him for a small favor, and he refused. Some of us can identify with that kind of regret. I can. I had a little brother who was very, very sick. He lived 4 hours away. My life was so busy. I had so many things to do that some of my siblings said, we're going to go up and we're going to visit him at Christmas time and spend a couple of days with him. I said, well, I can't. I've got to do this and that and that, and I've got to work. And I'm working right up to Christmas Eve, and then I'm back to work the day after. I can't go with you. I'll go see him in the spring. Well, my brother didn't make it to the spring. He passed away in May of that year, that following year. And I never got to see him that last time. That's called regret. That's regret that will never leave me for the rest of my days. Sure, when I think about my brother, I think of many happy memories. I think of our wonderful relationship. I think of how he was my very best friend. But then, every once in a while, I also think, why in the heck didn't I just forget about business and all that nonsense that doesn't matter and go see him, knowing that he was sick? I had an old pastor friend who had inspired many people, and he was just an amazing man, and I loved him dearly. But he told me one time, Alex, it seems to me like you think I'm perfect, and I want to point out one of my imperfections to you so that you will know that I am not. He said, I've been a terrible failure with my children. And I said, how can that be, a guy like you? He said, well, when my kids were young, I spent too much time with my books and not enough time reading books with my kids, spending time with my children. Regret. It's a terrible thing. There's an urgency about love. Children, we all know, grow up so very, very quickly. Time takes its toll on our bodies, doesn't it? There are some people whose love that we treasure right now, today, who might not be with us tomorrow, or next week, or next year. If we're ever going to take time to show our love for one another, let's do it now. There's an urgency about the really important things of life. One of those important things is expressing our love for our people. There was once a very bashful young man who was hesitant about showing his affection to his young sweetheart. And he said, oh, but that I were an octopus, that I might wrap all 8 of my arms around you, my dear. And she said, very impatiently, don't worry about having 8 arms. Just make better use of the 2 arms that you have. Sometimes there is an urgency about showing love for those whom we love. There can sometimes be a great urgency about making change. Change in lifestyle. changing relationships. And it's important that we realize this. There comes a time in our lives sometimes when we have to make a change about our way of living and do it right away. And it's not easy. Daily we hear tragic stories of drug abuse and what it's done to our society, to our people. Not only to athletes and movie stars and celebrities, but to ordinary people like us. How long does a person have to go on? How low does a person have to sink? How much money does he or she have to spend? How many people do we have to hurt before they finally say, whoa, this is enough. I've got to get control of my life. There comes a time when fighting a destructive habit that you have to say, I must stop now or it'll be too late. There's a story of a young man who waited, of a man who waited until it was too late to make a change in his life. That man's name was Judas. I've often wondered if Judas ever intended for Jesus to die. I wonder if he ever thought it would go that far. Had Jesus said something to him that had hurt him and offended him? That happens sometimes in our churches. Sometimes we might make the most innocent comment to someone else and they may misunderstand it, and quite unintentionally, we lose a friend and we don't even know why. Maybe Judas felt rejected by the other disciples. Maybe it bothered him that he wasn't part of that inner circle that Jesus shared with Peter, James, and John. They were always there, it seemed like, on all the important occasions in Jesus' life. And Judas was not always there. Was it simple jealousy? Did he say, I'll show them? Judas may have said to himself that this will get even. I'll get even with him. But maybe he never really intended for Jesus to be taken and crucified. Because we know that afterward, he went back and took those silver coins back. And he said, I have betrayed innocent blood to the temple leaders. And he tried to return the money. And they said, we don't care. And then they turned their backs on him. And that's when Judas realized it was too late. And he went and he hanged himself. It's an awful thing to wake up and to realize that it's too late. It's too late to save your marriage. It's too late. You're already addicted. It's too late. You've been caught. It's too late. You've brought disgrace to yourself, to your family, to your friends. It's too late. You've caused that tragic accident. There's sometimes an urgency about making change and making it now. Stop. An inner voice may be saying to you, stop before it's too late. There's built into life an urgency when it comes to the things that really matter. It's that way also with our relationship with God. I looked and I looked, and I could not find one place in the New Testament where Jesus told anybody to go home, think it over, and get back to me when you've thought it over. It just didn't happen. We read in Matthew 4 that Jesus came to Simon and Andrew and James and John at their fishing boats by the Sea of Galilee, and he said, follow me. And it says they immediately left their nets and they followed him. In today's lesson, these men meet Jesus and they want to delay making a commitment to him, and he rebukes them for it. His invitation is always an invitation to do it. And do it now. Procrastination is a big problem in many people's lives. It complicates our lives in so many ways. For some of us, it's a major block to our success at work and even in personal relationships. It might even keep us from enjoying life at times. When Jesus calls us, he says, do it today. Three reasons that he calls us with such urgency. The first has to do with our nature. We're creatures of habit. The older we get, the harder it is to change. We might have good intentions, but if we don't act now, chances are we'll never do it. That's just our nature. Motivational speaker Zig Ziglar decided to go on a diet. He decided to lose weight, and he weighed 202 pounds and decided that he wanted to weigh 165 pounds because that was his ideal weight. Well, right at the same time, he was writing a book called See You at the Top. In the book, he wrote a statement that he had gotten his weight down to 165 pounds. Now, that was 10 months before the book went to press. Then he placed an order with the printer for 25,000 copies of this book. Now, remember, at the time he wrote these words, he still weighed 202 pounds. He put his credibility on the line with at least 25,000 readers. He made a statement that he weighed 165 pounds. He knew that he had to lose those 37 pounds before the book was printed. And he did it, and this is my point, not about losing weight, because I'd be the first one to be preaching to myself if it was about that. But he knew that the only way he was going to get to that goal, reach that goal, was to start right now, today. And so he started immediately. Success in any attempt. When you have a good idea, act on it. Do it. Don't wait. And that includes committing yourself to God. If we put it off, chances are we will never do it. It's just human nature. The second reason for the urgency is because time is passing quickly. And some time is being wasted because we don't have that purpose. There's no limit to what we can accomplish. There's no limit to what this local church can accomplish. Once we know what our purpose is, and we, as Jesus said, put our hand to the plow and go to work without delay, without going back to talk to somebody about it, without having another committee meeting, and then we'll discuss it next month. Just do it if it's a good idea. The worst thing that can happen is it'll fail, and we'll try something different. In 1961, there were a group of students in Nashville, Tennessee, who set out to make a big difference in the world. They were the third of three busloads of freedom riders. Their goal was to end segregation in the South. And this was very dangerous in that day. The two previous busloads of freedom riders had been firebombed, some had been beaten, and they were determined, this third busload, that the movement that had started would not be allowed to fail. And they experienced some joy during their trials. Some people who were their opponents complained, "You know what I hate about them? I can't stand their singing. They sing all the time." But these students also were fully aware of the possible costs, that this could cost them their lives. So much so that the night before they left, they signed their last will and testaments. These young freedom riders, in the end, helped to change our world. The greatest reason that we don't use time wisely is that we don't think about our purpose. We don't have great aspirations. Now, COVID's not helped us with that. It's brought us down. It's taken away some of our motivation. It's lowered our morale. But it's time now to let it go and to move forward and to let that, we'll get to it later after this attitude go. There's an urgency about making a deeper commitment because of our nature and because otherwise we waste our valuable resource, our most valuable resource. And that is something that we all are aware of, that we have a very limited amount of, and that is time. We need to use it wisely. There's a third reason for this urgency, and that is that there is a great need. For example, in this age and society, we have, many of us, become callous to the fact that there really are boys and girls and men and women who are today dying of malnutrition and dying of diseases that are brought on by one simple thing, and that is poverty. They just don't have anything. We, the few, have so much, while many of God's children have so very little. Do we care? Yes, we do. But let's act on it if we care. Somebody needs to do something, and do it now. I'm proud to say that this church does things to help those children, those men, and those women. Every minute that's lost, though, means sorrow and suffering for a little child somewhere. There is an urgency. And human needs go far beyond physical needs, food, clothing, and shelter. There are people in our community, people right around us and close to us, whose souls are shriveling up within them. And do you know why? Because they feel like nobody gives a care about them. What do you think being part of a loving church family like this might do for those people who think nobody cares? That's why we're here. Will it be too late by the time we reach out to them? I hope not. There are people on the wrong path. To them, they're just having a good time, but addiction has them in its grip. Can we reach them before we lose them? So many in this community die of drug overdoses. What can we do about this? Yeah, it's time for a little bit more than thoughts and prayers. It's time for action. It should be plain now that the really important things in life cannot be put off. Showing our love for loved ones before it's too late. Breaking bad habits before it's too late. Committing our life to God before it's too late. Even little things for one another. You get a thought during the day, you know, I should call this guy. I haven't talked to him in years. Call him. Don't think about it. Don't write it down. Pick up your phone and make the call. Just do it right now. If we do that, it'll happen. If we don't do it when we think about it, we probably will never do it. That's my experience. We could use our time so much more effectively if we would just center our lives on two things, loving God and loving people. If we could just center ourselves on those two things, everyone, us and all the people we care about, would be so much happier. There are people's lives that we can touch every day of our life that we can really help if we do not procrastinate, if we act before it's too late. Satan's most effective tool, to tell them there's no heaven? No. To tell them there's no God? No. To tell them that there's no hurry. My friends, those are some of the things in life that there are some things in each of our lives that we know we need to do. There are things in each of our lives that we think of along the way. Let's stop putting them off. You know what they are. I know what they are. Let's just do them now before it's too late. Amen.